This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Actually, I was thinking about this. I watch Mike Florio and Chris Sims when they're in season on Pro Football Talk. Watch them and listen to them during the school season. When I drive my kids to school, I'm the morning guy in the crib, so when I drive the kids to school, I'm usually listening to Florio. And so I see lately that Florio has been in like his basement, some den or whatever. I'm like, what's he doing there? What's going on? And now I understand, because if you look at my background right now, this is not the usual brother from another background. This used to be my studio. This used to be my studio before it was a brother from another. I used to come in here, run away from the family, you know, write some books, get some quiet time. And then my mother-in-law took over. So, yeah, you know, my mother-in-law took the space away from me. But we got it back to them, Ashley. And I just want to point out that the books behind me, I didn't stage the books. I didn't do that kind of thing. You know, some people who write books, you see their bookcase behind them, and they happen to have one of their books. And I don't think I have any of my books behind me here. Well, except for this one.
Oh.
Except for this one.
I see you have a very nice Prince album, A Tribe Called Quest. Love that.
Oh, word.
Kudos
word.
To you for that.
Yeah, we got Billie Holiday over there. We got Miles Davis. Just get a little musical vibe here. This is where I kind of set my, I get my spirit right. And so I just kind of.
I like that.
Get in the space. So
you have really nice speaking books, of setting, really nice album covers in the background, and I have a broken nail. Everyone see my broken nail here? This is not how this is supposed to look.
I can't see what happened.
This is
what
a
happened?
Broken nail. It's not. Look at the difference. Look at my nails. Ooh, it broke. Literally five minutes before the show, it broke.
No, I want a good story, though. Good story is you were working on something, you were building this thing, and you just kind of chipped your nail. You were changing the tire.
I was parting
helping somebody
the Red
in need.
Seas, Michael. I was parting the Red Seas and my nail broke. It's what I do in between all my gigs. You know, I tap into my Moses book and I do miraculous things. It just how it happens. That's just a sign from the nail gods that it's time to get these bad boys redone. So everyone, don't look at my hand. I know I talk with my hands a lot. Don't look at my hand. Don't tell me on social media, what if her nails is longer than the other? I know. I'm aware. Thank you.
Well, listen, my homeboy Moses had meticulous nails because he wasn't part of the Red Seas with his hands. He just had that staff. He held out the staff and the seas parted. But I'll tell you, these teams, the LA Chargers, must think Justin Herbert is Moses because they're paying him as if he is going to deliver them to some promised land, a promised land that they've never seen before. Mm. Last time they saw the promised land, I'll say this. Last time they saw the promised land, it wasn't so great. I think it was 1994, and they got blown out by San Francisco in the Super Bowl. But Justin Herbert, and I see you got in your feed, Ashley. I'll let you take from here. He is a talented quarterback, but he has never won a playoff game. What do you expect from Herbert, and what do you think the Chargers expect from Herbert?
Yeah, so I think that time and time again, the NFL continues to tell us that they will prioritize the positions that they want to prioritize. And it doesn't matter about playoff success. It doesn't matter about Super Bowl rings, that they will go ahead and make exceptions to the rules based on what they see is beneficial to them in the long run. And the quarterback position constantly is one of those teams. Now, Justin Herbert, only one playoff appearance since he got to the Chargers, no playoff wins, but there's a lot of upside to what he brings to the table as QB. QB1. He does a lot of things great, still very young, still room to grow. And I think that this team believes that all of those things will outweigh or do outweigh the postseason success that he and this team have not seen yet. Now, people will go ahead and bring the coaches into the conversation, which is a fair argument. It is going to be interesting to see if moving forward, this is the head coach that the Chargers need to go ahead and win, especially now that you have paid Justin Herbert. Now, what I do like that the Chargers did, though, this is a team-friendly deal. So what that means is that it's very front loaded. So in this situation, Justin Herbert, I believe, gets about $100 million in year one, which in the following years will go ahead and his payout will be a lot smaller, but that will go ahead and help the team to go ahead and prioritize other positions if they need to do so, which they probably will. Whatever those positions will be, only time will tell. So I do like the deal. And I know people will go ahead and say, why are we paying quarterbacks who haven't proven anything? That is what the NFL has always done. That is what the NFL will go ahead and continue to do. Franchise quarterbacks are not a dime a dozen. And if you have one, you hold on to him. I'm not surprised the Chargers made this move at all. The game is the game and quarterbacks run the game.
Yeah. And look, he is a fantastic guy to watch. I do like, I don't know how you feel about it. I like quarterback records. I keep quarterback records, and I know some people are against it. I know Michael Smith doesn't like it that much. But most of the time, if you look at a quarterback's record and you see it does match up with what you think anecdotally of that quarterback. For example, if a quarterback has a terrible record, you usually don't say he's got a terrible record, but that's a really good quarterback. And if a quarterback has a great record, in the case of Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe he's the exception. But if a quarterback has a great record, you usually say, yeah, I got a lot of love for that type of quarterback. Justin Herbert is somewhere in the middle. I love what he does on the field. I think he's a good quarterback, but damn, it doesn't always translate. Like, why doesn't it translate? I know he's going into year four. I feel like he's got to do more. I know the Chargers, as you said, the Chargers have to do more around him. I think he's got to do more, and we got to stop focusing on his big picture stats. At the end of the year, the stats always look great, but how does he do against playoff competition? How does he do when his team really needs that gotta-have-it victory and those gotta-have-it situations? How does he look in those? And so far, I think he's been about a B-. He got to get that up to A to get a spot in contract.
I think that we've seen this story before, though. Teams and front offices will constantly blame everything around the quarterback before they get to the quarterback. And in this situation, I will say a lot of Justin Herbert's lack of success can be attributed to Brandon Staley's lack of aggressiveness when it comes to decision-making and play calling, when it comes to the big moments, when it comes to the big games, or he's too aggressive. He's either on one side of the spectrum or the other. He's never really seems to make the right decision at the right time. And I think that we saw that last season with the Chargers. So I think that, you know, all eyes are on the head coach, the coaching staff. I think the Chargers have a really good team, a really good young core, but it's about utilizing them correctly. But for all of the shortcomings that Justin Herbert may have and all of, you know, the records he may or may not have broken, which is all fair, the stat padding, things like that, that people will attribute to, I think that when it comes to the quarterback position, because it's so hard to get a franchise quarterback and a good franchise quarterback, sometimes you draft wrong. Look at Zach Wilson with the Jets. Sometimes you draft wrong. In this situation, I don't think the Chargers drafted wrong. I think they drafted correctly. And I think that all of the pros of Justin Herbert outweigh his cons, and they will fix everything around him before they go ahead and try to figure out if he's the problem. I'm a firm believer he's not the problem. That's a really good quarterback. You pay that quarterback.
Well, Ashley, so you're talking about building around a quarterback. A lot of times we think, hey, get that guy a number one wide receiver, or in the case of Philadelphia, they got two number ones. Miami has two number ones for Tua. In the case of the New York Giants, They're helping their quarterback by signing their star left tackle. Andrew Thomas signs a 5-year extension and gets $67 million guaranteed. He's a really good tackle. And then I said the other day that there'll be a running back revolution. Not so much. No revolution among the running backs. Saquon Barkley didn't sign a $10 million franchise tag. He signed for $11 million. So no dramatic holdout for Saquon Barkley. But they got Barkley. They got Thomas in the fold. Daniel Jones, I don't think he's a great quarterback. He had a very good season, not a great quarterback, not on Justin Herbert's level. I'm coming right to your neighborhood here. This is the NFC East. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the Giants going into year two of the Brian Daboll regime and some of these moves that they've made?
I'm confused by a few things. I'm confused by Saquon's decision. You had the opportunity to go ahead and take a franchise tag with no incentives that you were pressured to hit, whether directly from the organization or just from your own competitiveness and wanting to get those extra bonuses in terms of money. The money is virtually the same, except one deal has incentives, the other one doesn't. I don't know if it's wise to have your running back out there every Sunday, Monday, and occasional Thursday trying to hit these incentives so he can get extra money. Like, I feel like that's not ideal, especially when Saquon Barkley is such an important part of this offense. Running back number two, aka Daniel Jones, you have to go ahead and pay your left tackle because that man's going to be running for his life. Like, so it made sense that they paid him. I just kind of don't understand. Listen, I understand the running back market and what the running back market has become. I spoke to Troy Aikman a couple of days ago, and he said, you know, teams are going to prioritize the positions that are most important to them, which is fair. I get it. And the economics will say that the running back position, although players believe it's important, the league will say that it's not. With that said, though, Saquon is an important piece of this offense. You are supposed to pay that. This is not an offense that sometimes uses their running back, may use their running back, occasionally uses their running back. This is an offense that, if I had to guess, uses their running back at least 40% of the time. How you don't pay that man is beyond me.
First of all, let me just tell you, Ashley, I love you. You know this. I love hanging out with you, talking sports and culture with you. You're just so casual. You're like, listen, I broke my nail. I was talking to Troy Aikman the other day. What? Anyway, you just drop that in there. Oh, I've been just talking to Troy. Okay. Right. Yeah. I was just talking to Troy Aikman. And you know what Troy Aikman said? Well, I don't know what Troy Aikman would say about Saquon Barkley. Saquon, I'm going to tell you what Michael Holly says. You broke my heart. You broke my heart because I was trying to ride for you. I was trying to ride for you and Nick Chubb and every other running back out there who is talking about and Austin Eckler with the Chargers. He watches Justin Herbert get paid. Yeah. And he has incentives, get the little bit of crumbs. He is well past deserving. And so right. I'm trying to stand up for these running backs to get paid. And I think, okay, well, now you got Josh Jacobs, great running back. He's unhappy with the Raiders. Saquon, unhappy with the Giants. It's time to take a stand. It's time to let them know how important the running back is to the offense. And he comes back and he signs this little sorry contract, relatively. I take it. But he signs this relative to his production. He signs a sorry contract. And this is why. This is part of the reason that there's really not going to be any progress made here, because guys who have the ability to stand up, guys who have the ability to be like, nah, I deserve more than that. Even those guys are taking below market deals. This is a bad deal. Anyway, enough on him.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunately where the league is right now. And I don't think, and again, Troy Aikman sprinkling that in there, he also said he does not see the league changing. It's become a pass first league. And the only time that a running back is going to see an ounce of the money that the Cowboys once upon a time paid Ezekiel Elliott is if you are a Christian McCaffrey. if you are, you know, that hybrid between a wide receiver and a running back, that traditional workhorse running back that doesn't catch the football and just goes ahead and pounds defensive lines and hits those holes, is unfortunately becoming a thing of the past when it comes to the NFL.
All right, Ashley, one more thing. And, you know, Gary, we could just put this on. I want us to listen to the wisdom of Kyle Shanahan. Now, Kyle Shanahan, talking about the quarterback situation in San Francisco, they got their guy back, Brock Purdy. Here's Kyle Shanahan talking about the San Francisco quarterback.
Brock did hit all his stuff. It did go how it does for most of these guys, and he is ready. So, yeah, I have a few more thoughts that I wasn't expecting to have to go do for a couple more weeks. I planned on having about 5 to 8 practices, very similar to OTAs. So to come in after vacation and be told that Brock's good to go, I was like, all right, I got to think how we're going to rep this right away. So that's all that coaches and I had to go over, but it's kind of a really good surprise because he's going to get all of camp. We'll ease him up into it. And being able to go on the throwing program that he is, taking some days off, it still gives Trey and Sam some of those one reps that I believe that they need to give themselves a chance to differentiate themselves through all this based off of what Brock did last year.
No, ma'am. Mm-mm.
Okay. See, here we go, Ashley. We start off talking about Moses. Moses could pray. Moses was a prayer warrior. So I'm going to take all the powers of Moses and I'm going to pray over the San Francisco 49ers quarterback situation. I am telling you, I am hopeful that Brock Purdy can stay healthy the entire year. He's got all the training camp. Stay healthy during training camp. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, Brock Purdy. Okay, stay healthy. Stay upright. You know, get your rest. I want all the quarterbacks to be healthy. Because I'm so tired of the 49ers. I'm talking about you, Debo. I'm talking about you, Kyle Shanahan. I'm talking about you, 49ers fans. I'm tired of your excuses from the NFC Championship game. You were not the better team, and your quarterback got hurt. Both things can be true. Quarterback got hurt, which lessened your chances of winning, but you won't go win that game because you're not the best team in the NFC. So I hope they see that themselves, Ashley, with a healthy Brock Purdy when he throws more interceptions and touchdowns. Anyway, what do you think?
I think there's a bigger problem here, though. I think that, listen, the 49ers offense notoriously is a plug and play, meaning the quarterback really does not matter because it's designed to implement any quarterback at any given time and still be successful. With that said, chemistry and continuity is important in sports. It's definitely important in team sports, i.e. basketball, i.e. football specifically. So here's the issue. Trey Lance was the guy you drafted. Jimmy Garoppolo was the guy that once upon a time you couldn't keep in your locker room because he had success with the 49ers. People will say he wasn't a great quarterback. He wasn't. He was good. He did what he did. He did what he needed to do to win games. But you needed Jimmy Garoppolo out of that locker room because you couldn't have that shadow on your prized possession, Trey Lance, because Trey Lance was your guy. And you couldn't have Jimmy Garoppolo, who had that locker room once upon a time, looking over his shoulder and being there just in case Trey Lance messed up or Trey Lance got hurt. You needed to instill the confidence in QB1, the QB you drafted, that he was your guy. Trey Lance get hurt. Brock Purdy comes in. Brock Purdy has one hell of a season. He gets hurt at the worst possible time. And the 49ers fall short against the Philadelphia Eagles. Hear that, know the story. Now we're going into a new season. Is Trey Lance no longer your guy? Because he was your guy last season before he got hurt. Now, if I'm Trey Lance, I'm like, what the hell? What did you draft me for? Is this my team or is it not my team? Because it seems every time that I get hurt, and somebody shows up and shows out, Now you forget about the guy that you drafted, but once upon a time, you were willing to move a player like Brock Purdy, who came in, had a great time, had a great season with the 49ers, who had success. You were willing to get rid of him for my benefit and my growth, but now it's a different story. If I'm Trey Lance, I'm very confused and I'm borderline upset.
Well, that's a good place to take a break. But I'll say this: there's no confusion. Trey Lance is not confused. I mean, it's clear. It's clear. Like, is it my team or not? No, it's not your team. It's Brock Purdy's team.
Damn.
They made that clear. So if you're Trey Lance, if you like the San Francisco area, stick around. But if you actually want to play, you want to prove yourself. After not playing all that much in college, and then COVID, then the injuries, you might have to step out of it. Ask out, because they turned your team over to Brock Purdy, who's the best thing to happen to San Francisco since Streetcars, Joe Montana.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Man, I don't decide. Shit, we playing the Hornets tonight. I'm a chip. I only get to go to Charlotte 2 times a year. Somebody paid their money to come watch me play. Like, not trying to be arrogant, like it's a bunch of kids in there, my shoes and my jersey. And just because we playing Charlotte on NBA League Pass on a Monday, but ain't nobody f-ing watching, I'm chilling tonight. That's not what the great players, the best players do. So the way y'all compete in the middle, I loved it. Competing, talking, blocking shots, hard fouls, but still being safe. Like, that's basketball. But then you can't go on the side that's like, ah, right, we ain't playing them. They still watching. They still evaluating. They didn't come to see me play. Paolo or Brad, they know what we can do. Y'all in future, y'all next. So just keep that in mind. Like, ranked player, not big game, not big game. Like, compete, play basketball. Because don't take the for granted.
Michael,
I'm laughing. That is the wisdom.
Michael, I'm laughing at the Charlotte Hornets taking an unnecessary stray. Like, why was that? Why was that your example? Like, Charlotte's minding their business at home, probably practicing.
Shots were fired, for sure.
And here comes Jason Tatum. Whoa, because we're playing Charlotte on League Pass and nobody gives a damn? Like, why am I in it? I didn't even do anything. I'm just like...
Oh, he ain't say give a damn. He ain't say give a damn either. Because they wouldn't have bleeped out there. So he went in. He went in on the Charlotte Hornets. And that's the wisdom. That's the wisdom, Liv Moods. Talking about what it takes to be an elite player and to have your focus and to get to a championship level. Tatum next year is going to be eligible for that Supermax where he's going to be the highest paid player in the NBA. But right now, that title belongs to Jaylen Brown, who is a $300 million plus man for the Celtics. Liv Moons, how do you feel about this? And if you just had to give me your take of Jaylen Brown and what kind of player you think he is.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the money that Jaylen Brown is making is an investment. And a lot of people have a problem with the number, but the reality is you either let him walk or you pay him the big bucks. And I don't think there's a better player to be in his spot for this Celtics team. It's not just about talent when you're building a team that you're hoping to win a championship. It's about who can these players coexist with. We know Jason Tatum is obviously the star here. And what I love the most about Jaylen Brown is his ability to turn a game around, but also his, his humble confidence where he's okay with not being the center of attention. And it sounds crazy that I'm bringing that up, but unfortunately, it's not common in this league that you have somebody that's able to coexist and not be the center of attention. And I think Jason Tatum is speaking like a true hooper in that statement, definitely a hooper that wants a supermax here in a little bit. But it's not crazy that players should want to get reps in and want to compete. And I think the Celtics team is definitely proving that they are investing in Brown. I have always been a fan of Brown. I love the way that he plays. He is definitely in my opinion, one of the best three-point shooters in the league. I love the way he plays. I love his style of game. I think he's in the best situation in terms of the team that he's on is a perfect fit for him, but the bar is high. If you're going to make money like that, that is an investment. You can make the same case talking about a Justin Herbert in the NFL. When you make that kind of money, the bar is high. I don't expect you to just play well. I don't expect your stat line to be well or to be great, but I expect you to win games. This, to me, if you're going to get paid big bucks like that, Jaylen Brown's got to prove he's one of the clutchest players in the league with money like that. So again, is it a big number? Yes. Is it a little too big? Sure. But it was either pay him or let him walk. And I don't think they can afford to do that right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Michael, you already know what people are going to say. Well, Jaylen Brown can't go to his left and blah, blah, blah. We know that. We're aware. Like, we understand the handles. We understand the critique of all of that. But I think that, like we were talking about in, you know, the block before, continuity and chemistry matters in team sports, and it matters more than ever in the NFL, in the NBA, because of the constant movement, the constant, you know, revolving door between front office personnel, coaching staff, players. And the Boston Celtics, I believe, have been successful because they have remained constant. Yeah, one or two players have moved around, but their core has been the same. These guys have grown together. It's one of the reasons why the Denver Nuggets have been so successful and were so successful this season. It was that chemistry, that continuity that always existed within the organization, specifically with the guys on the court, that finally came to fruition and they won a chip. You cannot cheat the system. You cannot cheat the basketball gods. They do not reward it. We have seen that time and time again. Boston knows that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum together is better than one of them without the other. And in order to keep the two of them, you got to pay the two of them. That means you lose a Grant Williams. That means you lose this player. That means you lose that player. But you cannot afford to lose one of the best, if not the best, depending on who you ask, tandems in the NBA. The team will suffer. The team will lose. You saw what happened when they lost their head coach, how much of a transition that was when, you know, the whole situation with Ime Udoka went down, how they struggled with a new coaching situation. You cannot afford to do that on the court. Boston knew that the odds were not in their favor. Boston knew the cards on the table. They had no choice but to pay JB, and I'm happy. His teacher's a moron. Now she's probably sick somewhere counting $304 million she does not have, but that serves her right. Or him. I don't know who it was. Him or her. Right. Whatever.
Follow up on that, Ashley, so people know what you're talking about. What did Jaylen Brown's teacher say?
He tweeted in 2014, my teacher said, my teacher said she will look me up in the Cobb County Jail in 5 years. That was in 2014. And for those of you guys who aren't familiar with today's date, it is July 26, 2003. 2023. And whatever teacher said that to Jaylen Brown is not having a good day or a good week. I can tell you that much. Not only is he not in jail, but he has $304 million
really
in the bank.
Have a job.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people shouldn't have a job. It's a privilege, really, to teach. But I will say this before we move on. Jaylen Brown, The Ringer had a ranking. They ranked the 125 best players in basketball, and it was a disputed list. I think I wasn't on Brother From Another that day, but I think Natalie and others talked about it. Jordan Poole didn't make the 125. I know Natalie was upset about that at the time. He was off the 125, but Jalen was number 22. Jamal Murray was number 16, and Jokic was number one. So, you can debate the players. Hey, Jalen should have been a little higher. He should have been a little lower. Make the point, this is one of the handful, this is one of the NBA 1 and 2 percenters. I mean, this is the upper class in the league. He's a homegrown guy. He's 26 years old. You've won a lot of games with him. You'd be foolish to walk away from that. And so that's the story in Boston. I'll tell you the story in Los Angeles that's a blessing. And that is, we're talking about Bronny James. We're talking about Bronny James, Liv, being alive today. It's just a story that shocked us all. We saw that Bronny James, cardiac arrest, taken to the hospital, initially in intensive care, and now out of intensive care in stable condition. We're still waiting for further updates on his situation. I think, to me, Liv, bigger than basketball, whether he plays basketball again or not, don't care. I'm just happy that we're talking about a healthy Bronny James today. What did you think when you saw this story?
Well, I kind of had a mixed view on the situation. I actually put a tweet out there that blew up. I was dealing with trolls all day yesterday, which is fine. I think my immediate reaction is same as most people that have morals, which is I'm glad he's okay. It's like you said, it's bigger than the game. I just have a super big problem with anyone that took that opportunity to make it about anything other than his health and the fact that he's alive. By that, I mean, there were some, morons with even some political statements that didn't need to be made. I think the reality is that's not what this is about. The health of these players is the most important. We saw that even in the NFL season with DeMar Hamlin last season. It's bigger than basketball. It's bigger than any political agenda somebody wants to try to turn this into. I was very disappointed in some of the people that I saw tweeting and reacting to this and immediately thinking they're a doctor with a PhD. No, you're a troll on Twitter with Twitter fingers. Settle down. You have no idea what you're talking about. None of us have any information about what happened. And the only thing we should be concerned with is the fact that he is alive and he is okay. So anybody that had a different tone of voice and wasn't focused on his health and the fact that he's here and praying for his family, shame on you. You are not a doctor. Let's let the professionals handle it. And in the meantime, let's pray for a speedy recovery. That's all we can do at this point.
Yeah, everybody goes into armchair diagnosis, Michael, as you know, when things like this happen. All of a sudden, people have PhDs. People went to MIT. People went to the best medical schools in the country. People are doctors without borders. People are scientists. People are chemists. Like, all of a sudden, everyone's resume gets a lot deeper when things like this happen. I think that Liv hit it right on the head. You know, first and foremost, it's about the health. This is a young guy. It's scary that somebody in top shape, and we're seeing this with athletes across the board, same with DeMar Hamlin, same with some other college athletes, professional athletes over the course of these past few years, even being in situations like this, because athletes are supposed to be in the top tip shape and they're dealing with situations that are not normally something you associate with someone who's in incredible shape. With that said, I think that, everyone's jumping to conclusions about, will Bronny play basketball again? Here's the reality of situations like this. Sometimes these things just happen. There's no underlying condition. There's nothing that's going to prevent him from doing what he wants to do in the future. Sometimes things just happen, and the body has a way of miraculously healing itself. And things happen once and they never happen again. I know that LeBron really wants to play with Bronny in the NBA, whether with him or against him, but people are crazy if they think that LeBron, Savannah, that entire family would jeopardize the health of their son if there is a possibility that this is something that he will be dealing with for the long term, just so that that storyline can happen. If Bronny steps back on the court, it's because he is healthy enough to do so, that it's been cleared by doctors, probably multiple layers of doctors. And let's let the family and the professionals make that decision. Yep. Let's not go ahead and play a, you know, doctor, because last time I checked, none of us have MD at the last of our name, at the end of our names. We're on TV for a reason. Like, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ashley and Liv, you're right. It's about his health. And I just want to point out a couple of things and draw your attention to a story that maybe you don't know about. I'll tell you about that in a second. But as far as Bronny's career, well, we don't know. You know, USC dealt with a situation like this recently. They got a young man, a center, seven footer, 235 pounds. He collapsed during workouts. Their staff resuscitated him, gave him CPR. He came back. I think it took him about 6 months. 6 months to make his USC debut, but he did play. So, you know, every situation is different. So you can't say, hey, just because this happened to Bronny, his career is over, or you can't say he'll bounce back. We just don't know. Like, every situation, you know, has its own little nuance to it. And I'll point out to you that, you know, although this is rare, there are some examples that have happened here. And I think this brings attention to just increased physicals, increased heart checks. A guy here in Boston, known him for a long time, a business owner named Daryl Settles, and his wife is a doctor, a medical doctor, and their son, 14, 15 years old, playing a basketball game, collapsed during the game. He told one of his teammates, I feel dizzy, or you know, my chest doesn't feel right. He collapses during the game, goes into a coma. Unfortunately, he died. But the father, and this is amazing, the family really wanted to, and they're heartbroken clearly, but they wanted to make this, they wanted to bring light to his situation. And so his father is going around talking to colleges, talking to high schools, talking to anybody who will listen, saying, we need to have the proper equipment at games, and we need to be thoroughly checking these young people. Sometimes you don't check because, hey, they're 14, 15, as you said, in great physical condition.
Yeah.
Why would anybody think that something could be wrong? But we have to go in with these preventative measures just in case, because these instances have happened relatively. It's been frequent. More than we'd expect.
Michael, not only that, but it's also important to train your athletic staff correctly, because, I mean, Damar Hamlin was saved by an assistant to the physician, the team's medical physician. It wasn't even the main guy. Same thing at USC. They knew exactly what to do when it happened. That those first few minutes are everything between life and death, and making sure that your staff, from the manager to the assistant to the assistant's assistant, are all prepared in case something like this happens is so instrumental in making sure that if this does continue to happen, which it will, that there's more, he's okay, than we didn't get there in time. That's everything. That's so important. And that should be what the focus is, proper training, in addition to figuring out the science behind why this is happening to such young people at an alarming rate. And it only seems to increase percentage wise each and every year. But we have to go ahead and combat the time that we are in by training the people who are working with these athletes and making sure that if it does happen, you are ready to go and you know exactly what to do.
You know, I think also, and Liv, I'll end with this and I'll give you the final word. You know, sometimes I'm just sitting around looking at just things in life that are outside of the sports realm. And I say to myself, you'd be a fool, talking to myself, you'd be a fool to hot take that. That's not really something that has a take. That's just, you really got to sit back and just let that happen. You don't have to have an opinion on everything.
Right.
We don't have the expertise. So why in the hell people come in with political angles and personal angles and hating angles on something like this. Liv, can you help me out here? I'm just trying to understand. I'm trying to understand your neighbors. Not my neighbors, your neighbors. Trying to understand.
Not my neighbors. You know, don't put that on her either.
No, I do not live by these people. No, honestly, I don't understand it because I'm a firm believer. Stick to what you know. And at the end of the day, I don't know anything about what is going on with Bronny. And this is something that when people are pushing whatever agenda that they have, I mean, I was seeing conspiracy theorists coming out of the woodworks yesterday talking about this situation. For what? This has actually been happening for a long, long time where you see young athletes that have heart issues. This isn't just something that is just relatively new. The only difference is we're seeing it more because this phone that we have at our, you know, disposal taps us into anything that we want to know. We were finding out about Bronny probably as he was on his way to the hospital. That is where we're at in our world, where we're able to tap into these situations and feel like we are like personally involved. And that's where people get a little carried away. They insert their opinion into things that have nothing to do with them. But because of our easy access to information, we feel like, you know, it's our place to put our opinion out there. At the end of the day, it's not. This has nothing to do with, you know, there are no opinions needed in this situation. At the end of the day, he went and he got care from professionals, and they're going to make their diagnosis, and they're going to either clear Bronny with time, or they're going to tell us that he's not ready to play for a while. And whatever they decide to do, I trust those professionals. You've got people on Twitter. I saw people on Twitter. They're like, well, how do we know if they're telling us the truth? Oh, I don't know. God. Same way, you know, when you drive yourself to urgent care, they're going to make you feel better. If you don't trust them, then don't use them when you're sick. You use them when you're sick. So let's trust the science. Let's trust the professionals. And really, there should be no opinions added to this. The only thing that matters is that we are giving our thoughts and prayers to a speedy recovery, and not just a speedy recovery, just a recovery. If it takes time, it takes time. But I think his health is the most important. And anybody that's not on the same page either needs to figure out their morals or just keep their mouth shut.
That's a really nice way of saying, if y'all would read something besides Reddit threads on the dark web, you would know this was happening pre-COVID. So pick up a book. Google is free. Information is free. Read things besides Twitter. There's a lot of information out there. And pre-COVID, young people were still having cardiac arrest. So if you're going to find a scapegoat,
COVID itself is causing issues for people. And we can't control whether we got that or not. Whether you got whatever you did to prevent COVID, if you decided to go one way or the other, I'm not even going to speak in late. I'm going to just go beat around the bush here. If you decided to go one way during the pandemic, great. If you went another way, great. At the end of the day, we could not stop the spread of this thing. You were getting sick regardless. Okay. And there are studies that show COVID has a long-term effect on people's bodies, whether it be in the lungs with respiratory, whether it be cardiac with your heart. These are things that are happening. So anybody that just was so quick to go to, oh, I know exactly why Bronny collapsed during his workout. No, you don't.
They don't even know what you're talking about.
They don't even know if that boy even got the vaccine. They're just making things up as they go. Like, mind your business. Stop playing with people's kids, because that's how, Michael, you know, you can cross a lot of lines, but don't come for people's kids. That's right. That's what you don't do, as you know.
Yeah, people are crazy.
That's right. Well said. That's right. Hey, listen, Liv Moose, good to see you. Ashley and Liv Moose, man. Like, I like when y'all are together. Y'all need to host another show soon. Y'all come on as a guest. Just
make that thing. If you need a vacation, Michael, just say that.
Right. Come on now.
A little more direct, huh? I'm being passive aggressive.
Just a tad.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic, 'cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, Ashley, listen, this is not a new topic. Let's just go in here. The Las Vegas Aces, that would just set the table here. Las Vegas Aces have lost two games all year. Lost one game to the Dallas Wings and lost one game to the Connecticut Sun. Everybody else, they not only beat, they throttled. I mean, they are a historically great WNBA team. They won a championship last year. They are prohibitive favorites to win a championship this year. They had a first-year coach last year, Becky Hammond, won a championship in her first year. Now, Hammond, after being suspended at the beginning of this season, has him back in contention for another championship. And so you see the headline that says NBA teams should jump at the chance to get Becky Hammond. No, we know that they should. What I want to talk about is why they haven't. And I just want...
I can tell you exactly why.
When they're... Yeah, but I'm saying, I know you can. I just want people to admit their biases, their sexism, or their status as excuse makers. Because I got it all lined up. Becky Hammond played in the WNBA. Becky Hammond coached in the NBA. For one of the model franchises, assistant coach, one of the model franchises in the league. She had to leave the NBA just to get a head coaching spot somewhere else, because it wasn't going to happen in that league. It wasn't going to happen. There were so many excuses. It wasn't going to happen because of sexism, pure and simple. She was on the same coaching staff as Ime Udoka, who has now gotten not one but two head coaching jobs. On the same coaching staff as James Borrego, who has gotten not one but two head coaching jobs. On the same staff as Will Hardy, young Will Hardy, who's the head coach of Utah Jazz. Borrego and Hardy, Ashley, never played pro basketball. They ain't played. They stopped in college. So for those who say, well, you know, you need somebody who can play the game. No. Joe Mazzulla didn't play the game. Borrego didn't play the game. You know, Budenholzer. There are a lot of coaches. Eric Spoelstra didn't play. So tell me again, why isn't Becky Hammond getting an opportunity with somebody? I just want the words to come out of somebody's mouth. What do you think, Ash?
Because as pro WNBA, as people would want the general public to believe that they are. It doesn't matter how many campaigns they push, doesn't matter how many campaigns they join, they still view the WNBA as an inferior product, and their actions show that. And you can say, and you can maneuver, and you can, you know, spin master it all you want, but the actions don't lie. And I don't think it's the players. There are a lot of players who have come out in favor of the WNBA, and they support the WNBA. The decision makers, as much as they want you to believe that they are not, they are very modern in their way of thinking, it's not true. Because if you think about a Doc Rivers,
who constantly fails upwards, why is he constantly given different jobs after he continues to fail at his previous ones? Let's call a spade a spade. He got a championship in Boston, failed in Philly, failed with the Clippers. There was a report that he was possibly in the running for the Phoenix job, and now he's in the running for an announcing job. He continues to fail upward. The standard for men, not just in the coaching world, just in the workplace in general, you can name a business. I can give you an example. The standard in which men are held to is drastically lower than what women are held to. It has always been that way. Women need to be twice as good to be taken just as seriously as men. They need to be exceptional, where men get rewarded a lot of the time for being mediocre. It is the way of the world. And this is a prime example of how it does not matter how much success you have, what your resume entails, people will constantly find a loophole to say you're not qualified.
But see, Ashley, in this case, Becky Hammon has been twice as good. She has been twice
and
as good.
And it still is not good enough.
She got there. She got to the Spurs. Well, she got to the Spurs the year after they won the title, one of my favorite championships.
Did I lose you, Michael? Listen, see, this is what happens when we talk about women in sports, inequality. The system goes into overdrive. It gets a little crazy. Don't worry, we're going to get Michael back. But when it comes to Becky, I have to say, I absolutely love the quote that she gave. I'm not going to beg for a job. And she shouldn't have to. Listen, your resume is what your resume is. People like to talk about men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie. Bill Parcells famously said, you are what your record says you are. And her record says she deserves to be an NBA head coach. If the NBA doesn't see that, girl, don't beg for it. I'm here for you. It'll happen. Your time will come.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
And the time will come when we get Michael back. So you guys don't move. We'll get him right back.
Hey, I actually called him and advocated for him to take marijuana off the banned substance list. I just felt like it was becoming a thing around the country, around the world, that it was, the stigma behind it wasn't as negative as it was before. It doesn't affect you in any negative way. So I just felt like it was.
And what did Adam tell you when you said this to him?
He agreed.
What did you tell Adam? How did you persuade him?
Well, he smelled it when I walked in. So I didn't really have to say much. You know what I'm saying? He kind of understood where this was going. And then, I mean, it's the NBA, man. Everybody is like, everybody does it, to be honest. Like, I mean, it's like wine at this point.
He's not lying. It is like wine at this point. Absolutely love the, authenticity of that conversation. But I think it's also important to remember that marijuana in the past few years has been legalized in most parts of the country by now. So the NBA had no choice but to go ahead and move with modern times. It would be insane to tell a player in Denver, you can't go ahead and dabble in marijuana, partake in marijuana when it's legal in the city that they play in, that they live in. And I think it's also important to remember that, opioids and man-made medicines and pills and things that are used to mask pain, things that are used to make sure these players are in the best condition possible to go out and perform, a lot of people develop addictions to that. So who are we to go ahead and put restrictions on natural remedies when an athlete's body is their moneymaker? And if your body is not in, a position to go ahead and perform, then you can't go ahead and bring in money, which is the NBA is a business at the end of the day. So I think that, you know, it's pleasantly surprising that Adam Silver was able to go ahead and have that conversation with KD and ultimately make a decision that was in best interest of the players and future players. And listen, the MLB, I believe, was the first major league to go ahead and improve it. The NFL, as always, came in at the 11th hour, but here they are. And if you remember, the bubble was kind of the catalyst for this. That's when the NBA said, look, we're not going to test you for marijuana. And then they ultimately decided that it was in the best interest of the league and the players and the health of the players to not go ahead and do that. Obviously, people like Steven Jackson, Matt Barnes, you know, were some of the pioneers in that, but it took a little bit longer for that to go ahead and happen. So shout out to KD and Adam Silver for having that honest conversation. But before we move and close out the show, we got to talk about Messi Mania in Miami. It has only begun because the GOAT, Messi himself, 2 goals in under 25 minutes. If you aren't a believer in Messi, if you aren't a believer in what he means to the sport of soccer, if you aren't a believer in how monumental this is for the MLS, you better start turning on a TV or flying down to Miami, because let me go ahead and put this into perspective for you guys. Right now, the MLS is halfway through its season. Inter Miami is last. So listen, Messi came in halfway through the season, fresh off his own offseason. But if this is just a tidbit of what is about to happen when Messi gets a full season in the 305, this is about to be the greatest show on earth. This is so exciting, right in my backyard. I haven't had a chance to go see him yet, but I am going to. For all of you, Messi is washed. Messi, this is the end of his career. Why would he come to America? They're going to get the worst version of Messi. I don't know what show you guys have been watching. I don't know what games you guys have been watching, but Messi Mania in Miami is very real. And listen, Messi fans, I get it. I'm a Messi fan too. Let's not leave the game when Messi subs out. It's not good for morale. It's not good for team support. It makes the other guys feel bad. Buy your ticket, see Messi, but, you know, stay for the whole game. Just let's play nice. You know, nobody likes a game leaver. I just made that up, but nobody likes that. So listen, guys, I wish that we could have Michael here to close out the show, but I got you, Michael. No worries. I'm Ashley Nicole Moss, and this has been Brother from Another, or Ashley from Another, Sister from Another. Maybe I should just rename the show and just take it over. I think I'm going to do that. I'll be back next time. The show may be a different name. You guys have a good one.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.